Well, we have been in a message series which we're calling Moving from Unbelief to Belief. And we're in this message series because God spoke to us through a number of people here and said unbelief was a problem. And as we know from reading the Gospels, Jesus repeatedly said to people, because of your faith or belief, you have been set free or healed or whatever miracle God wanted to do in their lives. And so, I don't know about you, but I don't want to have any unbelief in my life. Anybody want to sign up for the no unbelief list? Yeah, okay. Yeah, heck yeah. That's right. So, that's what we're working on together. Now, let's do this together. This is what I'd like to do as we start. I'd like you to partner up with somebody or trio up. And you have 2 minutes, there's a time limit on this, to share with your partner or your trio how many things God has done for you in your life. Now you get 1 minute each. All right? You got to do it rapid fire. You got to go fast, all right? All right, on your mark, get set, go. Talking about is what God's done for you in your life. That's all. You're not talking about food later or anything else. Just boom, boom, boom. All the good stuff God's done for you. All right, time's about up. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, let's read Psalm 103 together now. Remember, what are we working on? We're working on moving away from unbelief. So some of this in here may be hard for you to believe, but I want you to believe it when you hear it. I'm going to read and you just listen along. Everybody got Psalm 103 in front of them from the insert? Psalm of David, let all that I am praise the Lord. You with me? With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he's done for me. We do that sometimes, don't we? When you get in those black and dark places, don't you forget what God's done for you? That's why we need to do this and remember. And here's what David said he does for all of us. He forgives all my sins. Do you believe he forgives all your sins? Even the really dastardly ones you did? Come on, some of you have sins that couldn't be forgiven, right? No, they're all forgiven. And he heals all my diseases. Do you believe that? Don't we accept? That's a stretch for some of our belief. Not all of us believe he heals all of our diseases. I'm going to tell you, if you're not getting healed of something, then there may be a reason. One of the things the book of James says, is there any of among you who are sick, call for the elders of the church to pray for you and confess your sins one to another? Sometimes sin blocks our healing. And sometimes it's sin done against us. It's not just sin we've committed. He heals all my diseases. Verse 4, he redeems me from the pit and crowns me with love and tender mercy. Some of you remember the pit. He brings you out and he puts a crown on you of love and mercy. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Who needs fresh energy in youth? Anybody? It's right there. Pray for it. Believe it. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the heights of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? Yeah. Infinity. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are, and he remembers we're only dust. And the psalm goes on to recount, and I listed the whole psalm there for you so you can read that and go through that. Don't forget all that God has done for you. It's important when we're working on belief to remember all that God has done for us. One of the questions that comes out for me from Psalm 103 is, how do we love a God who is so generous and giving? How do we love him back after all that he's given us? There's a lot of ways we could answer that question, right? But Jesus gave us the definitive answer for it. This is what Jesus said. He said, if you love me, obey my commands. That is unexpected, right? I mean, I've never said to my wife, you know, if you really love me, you would do what I tell you to do. That wouldn't fly very well anyway, right? But for God, this is the penultimate way of loving him. It's not in great prayer, although prayer is important, and worship, although God wants us to worship him. It's not in fasting and all these other things, giving all of our money away. It's, he says, if you love me, obey me. Do what I've commanded you to do. So let's ask ourselves another question here. What holds us back from radical obedience to the commands of God? You know, the kind of thing I'm talking about here is just flat out running hardcore after obedience. Jesus, if you said this is important to you, I'm all about it. If you say do it, there's no hesitation. I'm all over it. Why don't we live that kind of life? I think there's a couple of reasons, but I think one is unbelief or lack of trust. We don't really trust that if we obey God, our life's going to work out. Now, I'm going to go to a place to talk about this today that I think is a very helpful place to go. I'm going to bring in on the screen here, a couple of animals to help us out with this. And they're both pets of mine. One is no longer alive with us, but this is Pixie. And Pixie loves to burrow between pillows. She's about 10 pounds. She's the first little small animal that we've ever had. And she came to live with us when she was about 7 months old. A quick little history here for those of you that are interested. She had a few accidents, but she potty trained quickly. And we trained her to sit, stay, and come. But she never went all the way on the sit, stay, and come. No matter how hard we tried, she refused to learn it all the way. Matter of fact, even now, after four and a half years later, I can see sometimes when I tell her to come, she kind of gets a look on her face, like, what benefit is this going to be for me? And stay is like a millisecond. She'll stay, but it's very temporary, right? And she sits when there's a treat involved. So here's the thing. We have to be very careful with her when we take her outside the house, right? Because she gets off the leash, right? So let me introduce you to our beloved Patches, who's no longer with us, who's also going to help us today. She was our dog before Pixie, and she went through the same training regimen, and she also got potty trained quickly, but she went all in on the sit, stay, and come rules. We didn't have to be careful with her when we took her out of the house. As a matter of fact, our backyard doesn't have a fence at all. It's a little small backyard, but Patches could just go out without the leash. And she loves to fetch. And so she would fetch anything. She would bring us rocks sometimes that she wanted us to throw for her. You could see her with her stick there. I mean, again, and I mean, she would just, if she could, she would do it for hours and hours. So we'd sit in the backyard, no leash, throw it. We'd try to throw it so she couldn't find it. She would hunt it and find it. She'd go out with us when we would shovel snow, no leash, never go in the street. She'd go dig out a stick, bring it to us. When she got a little older and we knew we could absolutely trust her, you know, we had out dogs that had to go to the bathroom outside, so we would just open up the back door and just let her go. And she, you know, we're in the middle of the city, but she'd go and just come and go and never leave. She could have escaped and run off anytime she wanted to, but she never did. But here's the thing. Pixie thinks she has freedom, but she doesn't. She's living in bondage of a sort. I mean, we love her and take care of her, but there's so much more to life that she could have. But Patches had the fullness of life and freedom. You ready for it? You know what I'm going to say? Through obedience. We can believe we have freedom, but it's really false freedom. And that's one of the works of the enemy. That he convinces us, just like he did with Adam and Eve in the garden, right? Did God really say you would die if you eat of the fruit? Come on. God doesn't want to deny you of any good thing, right? Come on. You don't really know who God is. That's not, oh, here's one we hear. My God wouldn't do that. You ever hear anybody say that? I thought he was our God. I didn't know he was my God. Real freedom, Jesus says, comes through obedience to God. I've often thought, I've never done it because I'd probably scare off people, but the new members class, I often thought about calling it obedience training. The new members class. I'm not going to do it, but wouldn't that be fun to do? Welcome to the new members class. We call it obedience training. And in obedience, we joyfully accept the limits of what God wants us, of what God, the limits God sets for us in our lives, right? In false freedom, we live the pixie life. We think we have the fullness of life, but it's fake. It's not real. It's not real. So let's do something together this morning. Let's have an honest discussion. Oop, that slide shouldn't be there. About where we've been living in disobedience and false freedom. I'm not going to ask anybody to make a confession in front of the whole group. We're not going to switch into AA or NA mode all of a sudden. But let's just talk in generic terms. And what are some of the sins that we as churchgoers or Christians tolerate? And we think, God's not really serious about this. What are some of those sins that we let live and creep into our lives and we don't follow them without absolute obedience? Somebody throw out one. Ian?
Fear.
Oh, that's a good one. Did you know to fear is a sin? Now, fear cannot be, sometimes, not all fear is sinful, by the way. Fear is an emotion that's designed to make us run to God. But to live in fear is a sin. 365 times in the Bible it says, fear not. One for every day of the year. So let's just talk about that. Why do we accept fear as a sin in our life? Why do we do that? Right, yeah, we were raised, most of us were raised that way. Yeah, we're used to that. We get entertained by fear. Right? I mean, we love the glow, the high of watching a tense, action-packed movie, right? Lots of fear. Why else do we allow fear to stay to be in our lives? Tell me what you mean by complaining. Oh, are you saying another sin? Oh, we're still on fear. Give me one more second. We'll get to that one in a second. But that's a good one. I want to get to that one. I think we don't know what to do with our fear. And we pray every now and then, and the fear never goes away, so we just like, well, I guess I just got to live with it. But all things are possible with God. And sometimes we got to call for an elder of the church, or we got to press in and pray and pray and pray and pray until God releases us. Okay, the sin of complaining. Woo! Anybody ever committed that sin? How many of you did it today? No, don't show your hands. It's a sin. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. God despises complaining. It's a big one to him. So why do we let complaining maintain a presence in our lives? Somebody, what do you think? It's easy. Yeah, it's true. So the Bible says to bear one another's burden. So we always want to speak in biblical terms. So yes, there's times that we need to share a burden with somebody. That's different than complaining. And it's, so if I come to you and I just say, you know what, Lori, I'm just really struggling with my neighbor, and his name's Tom. And All right, sorry, too real. I'll make his name Ed. Oh, sorry. Lori is my neighbor, and she's there with Tom, and so so anyway, there's people that don't know why only this side of the church started laughing there. So we'll just say, we'll pick a name. Nobody here's name Sheila, right? Okay. So Sheila is just driving me crazy, and I don't know what to do. Sheila's really hurt me. She said some really hard things that really hurt my feelings. I don't know what to do about it. So I'm coming to you for advice. Instead of me going all day, that's Sheila, I can't stand her, I wish she would move, blah, 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 blah. What we're doing is, God says don't complain, because he's bigger and limitless, and we can go to him in prayer, and we can take all of our burdens to him. The Bible actually says, cast all your anxiety on me, because I care for you. That doesn't mean we still don't need each other sometimes. We do. We need each other. God and you are not enough, right? Okay. What else? What other sin do we accept as the way of Christianity? Gossiping. Yes, yes. I actually had somebody tell me when I first moved here, a Christian, a churchgoer, said, you gossipy. Gossiping is my food. I'm like, what? Is it Christian? Yeah, gossiping. Why? Because we don't trust the justice of God. To every sin we have, there's an answer. God works justice. He will take care of. We just read it in Psalm 103. He works for the oppressed, right? How about money? Money. Well, or this way, everything we have belongs to God, and so we don't have authority to spend the money the way we want to without checking in with him. I'm going to preach a sermon coming up in a couple weeks, and I want to on how to get the blessings of God unleashed on your finances. And I think a lot of people I know, churchgoers and Christians, they don't live under the blessing of God under their finances. And when you do that, you find that prosperity comes, favor comes with work, with employers, new jobs come. God has, and if you are trying to manage your own life and take care of it, and you're saying, I'm going to be in charge of everything, then you miss out on this blessings of God, right? That's what Pixie's doing, in a way.
Criticizing.
Yeah, that's another thing. We could say that's judgmental, being judgmental. Judge not, lest you be judged. I'll tell you another big thing is sexuality in the church. God's made it clear how human sexuality is supposed to operate. And when we get outside, why do we get out of that? It's because we don't trust God to meet our need, right? We don't trust him. We're looking for relationships, and he's like, just hold up. Trust me. I'm going to take care of you. I promise you, I'm going to take care of you. Entertainment, right? It's a big one. Philippians chapter 4 says this, whatever is beautiful and just and good, of good report, think about these things. And when you look at what we entertain ourselves with through the lens of Philippians 4, you stand back and you go, oh my, what am I doing? I remember I had somebody come to me some years ago, just full of so much anxiety and fear. She's like, Pastor, I don't know what to do. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to help her, right? I don't know what to do. And so I just started talking to her. And I went through my normal, when did it start? How long have you felt this way? And I couldn't get any answers. And of course, we prayed and nothing was coming. And finally, she said to me, I love to watch horror movies. I watch them every day. I have bad dreams. So I got out Philippians chapter 4 and I said, what does it say to you? So she stopped watching the horror movies. We prayed over her, and she got out of anxiety and stress. Right? Now, it's not always that simple, but it's the freedom God wants to give us. Listen to this. If you want to follow along from John 14, it's in your bulletins on the inside cover there. If you love me, what does it say? Just say, yes, Lord. Yes, I want to obey you. And I will ask the Father, and look what he's going to do, and I will give you another advocate. That's the Holy Spirit he's talking about there, to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And I love verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. You don't have to try to take, what do orphans do? They're constantly trying to take care of themselves, right? I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself. There's a couple things in here that are just astounding. I just want to bring to your attention. First of all, of course, we've talked about this. If you love me, obey my commands. And it goes on then to say, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Okay, so this word advocate is parakletos in the Greek, right? So the New Testament was written in an ancient Greek language called, well, ancient Greek. And so this word causes fits for us to translate into English. It means strength, helper, comfort, advocate. It means all these things. So we don't have one word in English for that, right? So some translations say comforter, which I like in a way also. So to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Now let me say this real fast about this. In another place, Jesus says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. How many of you need help discerning what the truth is? Yeah. It's right there. If you obey his commands, he fills you with the Spirit, and you can call on that Spirit anytime and say, Spirit, lead me into the truth. I do it all 4 or 5 times a week. Spirit, will you lead me into what the truth is here? I need to know what the truth is. And the Holy Spirit's like, absolutely. Glad you called on me. So that's a promise we get from walking in obedience with God. So we get the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on and says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. So there's repetition here, right? If you love me, obey my commands. And here's how you know you love me. You have them and you keep them. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them. So there's this release of the love of God through obedience. We talk a lot, in most churches we talk a lot about the love of God, but we don't connect it with disobedience. When you are in disobedience to the command of God, there's a limitation of how much love God can pour into your life. There's lots of grace, but not as much love. But when you say, I am all in, I'm going to obey no matter what you ask me to do, I'm going to trust you, there's this release of love. And did you see this last sentence here? And I will show myself to them. There's a revelation of Jesus that only the obedient receive. I want the revelation of Jesus. There's nothing that is more important that I'm going to hold on to and say, God, I've got to have this more than I want you. I want him to show himself to me. Isn't that amazing? This language isn't a lot in Scripture. You don't find this in very many places. But there's this special place we can live with God where he reveals himself to us. It's remarkable. And so, if you love me, Jesus said, obey my commands. Let's ask this as we wrap up today. Why did Jesus say, if you love me, obey? Isn't that interesting? I mean, there's a lot of things he could have said. And there's more than one answer here. But the one answer I want to share with you is this. Because he's asking us to trust him. And without trust, there can't be a relationship. You can't have a healthy relationship without trust. And so he's saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. So that you can have this healthy, wonderful relationship with me. He's inviting us into this place of trust, or another way we could say it is belief. And so when we obey, we're saying, I am deciding to believe you. Now, how do we get to that place? I'm going to give you a real simple technique in your life. It's not going to be anything you haven't heard before, but it's something that has changed my life. Get yourself in a quiet place every day and read some scripture. And you will more and more begin to internalize what the commands of God are for you. And when you come across something that God is saying to you, just do it. And if you're struggling with it, say, God, I want to do it, but I'm struggling with it. And God's like, okay, I'll help you. Right? We're not doing this for God. We're doing this from him or with him. Abide in him, and his strength will flow through. Live in Jesus. And anytime we come to a command that's hard for us, he says, okay, you can ask him every day, all day. I'm having a struggle. You know, God, this person, Sheila, hurt me. And I don't want to forgive her. I'm having a hard time. And God says, okay, I'll help you. I mean, what kind of God is this, right? Every day, 5, 10, 15 minutes, spend some time reading Scripture. And if you really want to go to the, if you want to go notch up your level here, get some gear, get a little notebook and write down a few sentences when God speaks to you through Scripture. I've been doing this for 30 years, and I can go back through my notebooks and just see all the times. And I'm not a big journaler. I just write a few sentences down, but I can remember. It's like God's faithfulness and his goodness, right? Forget not all his benefits. So, all right, let's do this. We're going to invite Sam to come back up. He's going to play a little quiet music for us. And we're going to just take a moment here to invite you to have some quiet time with God. If he spoke to you, just repent. Say, God, I confess I've been holding on to this sin. I've been in disobedience to you. And I'm confessing it and I'm repenting. I am no longer going to be disobedient. I'm going to do it your way. I come into obedience. And if you're not sure, if there's nothing hits you, then I'm going to put this prayer up here for you. From Psalm 139. And just ask God to search you and know you. And if he speaks to you, say thank you. Because it's his love that is at work in your life. All right, I'm going to be quiet. I just want to invite you to take this time to talk to God for a few minutes. Let's try not to move around the room. If everybody could just stay in their seats, and we have this quiet time together.